Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those big swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go.
On a Wednesday night, we do welcome you into another edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We have a full two-hour program tonight, our only one this week. We've had a lot of Thursday off days when it comes to the Cardinals, but not this week. They're playing tomorrow, so this is going to be our only full two-hour show over the course of this week, and we've got a lot to get to. First off, just not a pat on my back, but a pat on the collective backs of here at KMOX, because we've had a lot of really tough weather today, and the amazing people who work here, who I continue to be in awe of on an everyday basis. You just heard Maria Kina, Michael Calhoun earlier, everybody in the newsroom putting everything together, people behind the scenes. Like today we had severe weather coverage going as the Cardinals radio network was going on, and I won't get into the technical details of that, but that's not exactly the easiest thing to pull off, and they just do it like it's really easy here. So it means so much to the folks here at KMOX to keep people safe when it comes to bad weather, and it is a passion of so many people here, and it's really cool to see, and I think it's part of what makes KMOX KMOX, and I'm happy to be a very, very small part of it. So we're going to do Sports Open Line. If weather pops off again, you know what? I'll step aside and we'll go into storm mode once more, and we'll keep you up to date with everything that's going on. Maria just mentioned some of the weather that was going through down in Jefferson County and south of St. Louis and so forth, and we'll be on top of it throughout the course of the program today. We do have a lot to get to. A lot of Cardinals baseball. They don't play today. They just were not. It wasn't going to happen. It wasn't. I wasn't in the cards. Is that a bad pun? Yeah, that's a bad pun. I shouldn't have gone down that path. But it just was. It simply was not going to happen today. And it's going to. They lose an off day later on in the year. But the Cardinals are in a tough spot right now. This is. I don't know if they're at like the brink of the season coming to an end. I think that would be an extremist, alarmist way of saying it. But if you don't, you're being a little too, I think, rah-rah, a little too happy-happy joy-joy if you don't assess what's going on and not say that there's some issues right now. There are some issues right now that need to get worked out. People bring up the record. People bring up where they're at in the standings and how far they're. Like, I don't care about any of that. I just don't. None of those numbers are insurmountable numbers. Now, I saw, I think it was somebody actually from another radio station in town. I saw a tweet today about teams that are this far back or with this kind of record at this point of the season, how often they make it to the playoffs, and it's very rare. So those are cold, hard facts, and those are hard facts to argue with, and I'm not here to argue those facts. All I'll tell you is, right now, it's not the games back thing that I'm worried about. It's not the overall record that I'm worried about. It's what's happening in games. That's what I'm worried about. If they can get some stuff figured out, all that other stuff will kind of work itself out. There's plenty of time left in this season. But I am losing confidence that they are going to be able to turn this thing around. And I think based off the callers and the texters and the tweeters I hear from, I think there's a fair amount of confidence being lost. And I'm not saying they're not going to do it. I still think there's plenty of time to do it. But I don't understand why this team is where they're at right now from an offensive standpoint. And it should not be this way. This team, the hitters, and this is where people push back on me sometimes, because I'll say the hitters on this team are too good to be performing at the level that they are hitting at. And very often I get people who push back and say, well, are they really? Is there really that much talent on the roster? And my response to that is, in large part, the stats up until this year back that up. I cannot figure out why somebody who was performing at a pretty high offensive level last year, and I'm talking specifically from an individual standpoint, because you go up and down the lineup, you go up and down the roster. There are guys who were performing at a very respectable level last year. Even guys like Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, who did not have great years last year, especially with Goldschmidt, you would, in a split second, you would take his numbers from last year and apply them to what he's doing this year. And the Cardinals might have two or three more wins if you just got that, because he's had opportunities to be able to drive in runs. So I don't completely understand how a group of players who profiled to be better than they're performing right now, why they're not performing at that level. And the more time that goes by, the more I'm worried they're not going to get out of the funk. Now, yesterday was not a bad offensive day. Not a bad offensive day yesterday.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It was good to see them hit three home runs. Good to see them score five runs on 14 hits or whatever it was. Like, that's a good offensive day. They're going to win most of the games that they do that. But it was one game. Can they follow that up? If they follow that up this weekend against Milwaukee, if they go to Milwaukee and find a way to win that series, then all of a sudden you start to feel like maybe it's something. But it's going to be that much more challenging because you don't have Wilson Contreras available. He's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. We're going to talk about that a fair amount of time during the program as well today. If you do want to join us, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. When we return, we'll talk with Jacob Sersosimo. You see him on Channel 4. We'll talk with him on what he thinks is going wrong with the Cardinals. That's up next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We do continue on with the program, taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. When we get done, At Your Service will be rolling your way. Our guy Brad Young is going to be in tonight from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. We've got a lot to get to, though. Before we get to then, talking a lot of Cardinals baseball. And right now, very happy to be able to welcome back onto the program. You see him on Channel 4, First Alert 4. He is Jacob Sersosimo. You follow him on Twitter at Jacob Sersosimo, Sersosimo is how you spell his last name. He joins us right now. Jacob, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Michael Calhoun said earlier today when I plugged that you were going to be on the show, I said your last name. And he goes, oh, so that's how you say his name, because sometimes people just see your name written up there without hearing it. So we're trying to let everybody know exactly the correct pronunciation of the last name.
I appreciate it. I have some people, some friends I met here in St. Louis when I first moved here about 7 months ago. And one of them just asked me about 2 days ago how you say my last name. So
it's funny.
Even the people close to me still don't know sometimes. It's a tough one. I get it.
What's the line on where you've known somebody long enough, but if you don't know a part of their name, where, you know what, you just can't ask that question anymore?
With my last name, I don't think there is really a line.
Okay.
It's kind of a tougher one, so I get it. Some people, you know, they say Sir Sosimo, and they look at it a little too long. So for my last name, I don't think there is a line. Maybe
okay.
Like 5 years. I'd say 5 years. You could probably stop asking me.
5 years. There you go. Cardinals don't play today. They had a rough homestand. They lose 2 of 3 to a bad White Sox team. They lose both the games against the Mets. I mean, they lose Wilson Contreras. This team, Jacob, is just in a really, really tough spot right now.
Yeah, I mentioned it the other night. We have the Nightcap show on 4, 10:30 on Saturday nights. I mentioned it in that show that it's so weird. Before the season, we talked so much about pitching with this team. We talked so much about, you know, their defense. They want to have good defense. And the season starts, and now we're talking so much about offense. It seemed like we weren't really talking about that at all to begin the season. And you were there last night. Being there last night and when Wilson Contreras goes down, it seemed like it sucked the life right out of Busch Stadium. And I think a lot of fans kind of saw a glimpse of the season kind of flash before their eyes with that injury, because the injury didn't look good at all from the first look at it. And two, it seemed like a harsh realization of this team's not going to have Wilson Contreras for the foreseeable future. And right now Wilson Contreras is playing pretty much the best baseball on the team. So not necessarily a great weekend or a homestand at all. And to have that happen at the end of it moving forward, I can't imagine there's a lot of confidence moving forward with this team. I should mention the first day of the homestand on Friday, I was in the locker room or I was in the clubhouse before the game, and I was interviewing Mason Wynn, and he mentioned this is a must-sweep series. And this was against the White Sox. He's like, we shouldn't lose a game of this series. And then they go, and they not only do they lose a game, but they lose the series. And it kind of seemed like that's where their head was before the series. We shouldn't lose even a game to the White Sox. And then you lose a series. And I don't know if it, you know, Garner's looking in the mirror a little bit closer or what, but hearing that before the series and then kind of seeing how the homestand ended, it's kind of tough to put those two together.
Yeah, and for me, going into that series, I felt, because I don't like to make too much of series when we're talking about April and May and even getting into June, but it did just feel like if we're going to sit here for the first month of the season and talk about how tough the schedule is and all these trips out to the West Coast and kind of put in these excuses or maybe reasons on why things may not go great, once you get to the point where the schedule eases up a little bit, then I think you got to be just as kind of fair on the other side of things. And that was a series against the White Sox that they had no business losing.
Yeah, and I think for me at least this series, for like this weekend series, this homestand with the Mets and the White Sox seemed like the first month of the season's out of the way. Let's settle into the season, get fans back out to the ballpark, and let's see how this unfolds. That's how it felt to me, right? Okay, we're in the season. Let's get this thing going now. They'll come home. You know, it's after the first month. We're now in a groove. Sonny Gray's fully back. We're getting guys back. We're getting good. Here they go. And then you lose the series to the White Sox, and then you play like you did against the Mets. And it kind of seemed like for a weekend that was supposed to be promising moving forward, where the organization can be like, hey, this is what we've been telling you about. You know, we can still win games. It didn't turn out that way. So it just seemed weird this weekend if something that was supposed to go a different way and it went the complete opposite way.
The Wilson Contreras injury was really a perfect storm, because Contreras is inching closer, as most catchers are, to try to steal that strike, while you got Martinez standing on the line or over the line in the back. And then have you ever seen that? I have never seen somebody, not even a backswing, but just on the swing, come down on the forearm. I've seen it hit the glove, but I've never seen it on the swing. Have you ever seen that before?
I have not seen the arm. Sometimes, especially, I know catchers are getting closer now, but you see like the top of the glove.
Yeah.
And then maybe recently you might see like the back of the glove, right? Where it hits like the back of the fingers. I have never seen how high it hit on the forearm. Like, that's a full arm. You think about where his arm had to be for that to happen. That's way up there in the box.
It is, and I not the blame needs to be handed out anywhere, but it's part of it is where Contreras is setting up, and part of it is where Martinez is setting up, and those two things come together, and you get a really, really tough situation.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, everybody talks about, everybody in baseball since the beginning of time, everyone's been trying to find an edge, right? And especially with Velo now and Trackman, and you can, you know, find these really small edges in the game where everyone's so good. Everyone's talking about, you know, velo of a pitch. How do we change this slider to be a certain way? Well, we check the velo and the Trackman. It doesn't surprise me that baseball was inching closer. You know, that part of a catcher just moving a little bit closer can get the ump to call, you know, maybe a low strike better, how that is. It doesn't surprise me that that's been a conversation and that's how it goes. It's just very, very unfortunate to have someone, you know, get hurt like that. And nobody wants it to happen, right? Like, the person telling the catcher, hey, maybe we should move up, they're not thinking about that. Things happen in the major leagues so fast. And the chances of that happening really, I don't feel like are that high, especially with how batters swing and how things – like, catchers have been close forever. I feel like – I know I didn't play a very high level of baseball, but, like, the catchers there were pretty close. It's just the chances of getting hit didn't seem like they were very high. But, obviously, if you look at the stats this year – they're getting higher, and it's just super unfortunate that it just so happened to be against one of, you know, the best catchers in the league.
Yeah, it's a challenging thing to talk through because, and Kevin Wheeler from our station mentioned this earlier, you know, there's a million pitches thrown a year, and this is the first time any of us have seen a guy get hit on the forearm. So it's literally a one in a million shot. Are you really going to change the rules or ask catchers to do something differently based off a one in a million chance that they're going to get hit in the arm?
Yeah, and you've seen catchers frame the ball better over the years, right? Like, that's a big part of the conversation as well. And so does moving up help that a little bit? Like I said, it's baseball. These are some of the best athletes in the world, and it's literally a game of, like, centimeters. Like, if Arenado hits the ball a centimeter higher, it goes out other than hitting the wall. Like, this is literally a game of centimeter, and these catchers at the time, like, catcher for an example, we're talking about it because it happened to Wilson Contreras, but if moving up just a little bit makes them catch the ball a centimeter higher on the bottom to make it look like a strike to the ump, of course you're going to do it.
Right, absolutely. He is Jacob Sersosimo. You see him on Channel 4, First Alert 4. Follow him on Twitter, at Jacob Sersosimo. Jacob, thanks so much for taking some time. I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
I appreciate it. Have a great night, guys.
Awesome. Very good. There's Jacob Sersosimo joining us on the program. Back-to-back interviews. When we return, we're going to have Kendra D. St. Aubin. She's part of the team with MLS Season Pass. That's coming up in just a moment as we continue with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. If you're in the St. Louis metro area, maybe you've seen some lightning, some thunder, have some gnarly weather. If it really starts to pick up again, we'll dump out here of talking sports, and we'll keep you safe with weather coverage. We've been doing it throughout the day, so stay right here one way or another. But right now, very happy to be able to talk a little MLS soccer and City SC. They are coming off a scoreless draw this past weekend against Houston, and now they're ready to be back at home this weekend, and they're going to match up against Chicago. We welcome on to the program part of the team at MLS Season Pass and Apple TV, Kendra D. St. Aubin. You follow her on Twitter at Kendra Sports, spelling Kendra, K-Y-N-D-R-A. Kendra, welcome back onto the program. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So this City team, it's they just keep drawing after draw after draw after draw. I mean, they're tying every single game. What do you make of what's been – it's not always scoreless like this past weekend. The weekend before against Sporting KC, it was a 3-3 draw. So it just keeps happening over and over.
That's exactly what I was just talking about. I was thinking, you know, okay, I'm going to look at the schedule and I'm going to look at what they've been able to do or not be able to do. And they must be struggling scoring goals. But then when you look at how many goals that they've scored, and they've got these 2-2, 3-3 games, you know, some games where it's 2-0, 3-1, and then you have these 0-0. So that's what I feel like it would be the most frustrating as a coach and a fan base if you're watching this team is trying to figure out who are they in 2024. You know, I know that they don't want to say that they overperformed in 2023, and Bradley Carnell, when we talked to him earlier this year, he was like, you know, we're not going to listen to what other people say. Other people think we overperformed, but we knew what we were capable of. Well, they absolutely killed it in 2023. So the bar was set. The standard's been raised. The expectations are higher heading into this season with another year under your belt. But at the same time, everybody also knows who you are and who your stars are. So I think some of it is just the inconsistency in trying to figure out how do they have this many draws already this season, more draws this year already than they had all of last season. You know, I think that is just trying to figure out the balancing act of the 3-3 results versus the 0-0. And if you're getting the draws, how are you going to find a way to score goals?
Yeah, it's remarkable that it does keep happening. Anytime you have a result like that where you tie and you're one goal away from winning, you can always go back and look at the tape and you can find the play here, the moment here that could have maybe led to an opportunity to score. As you watch this City team, what is that thing that maybe is holding them back from turning some of these ties into wins?
Well, I think a huge piece of what they're trying to figure out is, first of all, you can't understate missing Edward Leuven. I think he's been a huge miss for this club, having only played 3 games on the season. I know he's had some injuries and then dealt with some personal issues and whatnot. Like, you cannot understate the value of a player like that in center midfield. I do think also just trying to figure out how is Joao Klaus most effective. We've seen his work rate off the ball, how he works probably harder than any other 9 in the league to win the ball back, the high pressing, the additional running. But then when he's doing that high pressing and he's doing that additional running, is he pulling himself out of a position to be in a dangerous position to score when they win the ball back? Because Bradley Carnell also prides himself on, and their team on, you know, winning the ball higher up the field, playing this game in a part that you make it easier on yourself by doing this little bit of high press and winning the ball in dangerous areas. But if you're high pressing and you're winning the ball back with your number 9 and he's stretched wide in the wide areas, then who's inside the box? Who's going to be most effective to get the goal? So I think that's a huge piece of it. And then finding out, too, what is the best way to play everybody together to be most effective? Sam Adeniran missed some time, you know, with that kind of craziness that was going on of why he wasn't playing. And now he's back in the mix. How you play him and Joao Klaus together. Now Sam Adeniran is not an unknown to the rest of the league. Last year, the goals he was scoring were insane. They weren't just goals. They were like these ridiculous bangers. He's a very single-minded individual, meaning he gets the ball and he wants to go to goal. And you love that in a player. So I think it's just trying to figure out those pieces of the puzzle and how do you get the most effective aspect out of all your front attacking players to find success, because clearly the defense hasn't been a real issue. I mean, the shutouts, the clean sheets, you got Roman Berkey in goal, you got a back line that's been incredibly solid. I don't think that defense is an issue, and I don't know if you heard, you know, Roman Berkey's post game, but he seemed a little frustrated with the lack of goal scoring, the lack of consistency in front of goal as well. So you hope that it all comes together sooner rather than later, because you think you got a lot of time, then all of a sudden you're halfway through, you know, we're a third of the way through the season, pretty soon you're halfway through the season. Then you have the All-Star break, then you have Leagues Cup, and then it's kind of a crapshoot how everybody comes back from Leagues Cup, whether you hit your stride or you hit a lull.
Yeah, I have that conversation all the time when I'm talking baseball. At what point is it not early on in the season anymore? And it's a really, really long MLS season, but as you do get into May and eventually into June, saying it's early and you're just a step off from everything like that, that I don't think fans want to hear that as much.
No, I mean, first of all, fans don't have patience. They don't have time for that. And I can respect that. I mean, we've all been fans of some team. I mean, I live in Minnesota, for goodness sake. So I've suffered, you know, time and time again with a lot of Minnesota sports. You don't want to have patience, and you want your cake and eat it too, and you want the success to come quickly. But a lot of coaches think in the early on part of the season, hey, it's only one game. We're still finding our form. It's only 2, or, oh, it's only preseason, or whatever it is. And I remember talking to Nick Cushing before one of the NYCFC games, and he's like, yeah, we can say that. Like, oh, we've got 32 games left. Well, pretty soon it's 31, and then it's 29. And that, you know, like, before you know it, you've got to start finding a way to get points. You have to find a way to start putting it together. And most importantly, what St. Louis City has to continue to lean on is their home form. Their home stadium is phenomenal. The fan base there is phenomenal. When they can find a way to continue to get the points on at home and get the wins at home, and I know it's cliche, but you get the draws on the road. If you're getting draws on the road and not at home, you have you know, some hope to make it to the postseason. But as we all know as well, this league is built on parity. So you can legitimately go into every game every single night and not know who's going to win. And this weekend they have Chicago. In your mind, in the fan base mind, and in St. Louis City's mind, this should be 3 points at home against a Chicago team that clearly is struggling to figure it out and sit 13th in the East.
The rivalry with Kansas City is fantastic. Chicago is obviously – St. Louis, Chicago is a
– trying to figure out who are they in 2024. You know, I know that they don't want to say that they overperformed in 2023, and Bradley Carnell, when we talked to him earlier this year, he was like, you know, we're not going to listen to what other people say. Other people think we overperformed, but we knew what we were capable of. Well, they absolutely killed it in 2023. So the bar was set, the standard's been raised, the expectations are higher heading into this season with another year under your belt. But at the same time, everybody also knows who you are and who your stars are. So I think some of it is just the inconsistency in trying to figure out how do they have this many draws already this season, more draws this year already than they had all of last season. You know, I think that is just trying to figure out the balancing act of the 3-3 results versus the 0-0. And if you're getting the draws, how are you going to find a way to score goals?
Yeah, it's remarkable that it does keep happening. Anytime you have a result like that where you tie and you're one goal away from winning, you can always go back and look at the tape and you can find the play here, the moment here that could have maybe led to an opportunity to score. As you watch the City team, what is that thing that maybe is holding them back from turning some of these ties into wins?
Well, I think a huge piece of what they're trying to figure out is, first of all, you can't understate missing Edward Louvin. I think he's been a huge miss for this club, having only played 3 games on the season. I know he's had some injuries and then dealt with some personal issues and whatnot. Like, you cannot understate the value of a player like that in center midfield. I do think also just trying to figure out how is Joao Klaus most effective. We've seen his work rate off the ball, how he works probably harder than any other nine in the league to win the ball back, the high pressing, the additional running. But then when he's doing that high pressing and he's doing that additional running, is he pulling himself out of a position to be in a dangerous position to score when they win the ball back? Because Bradley Carnell also prides himself on, and their team on, you know, winning the ball higher up the field, playing this game in a part that you make it easier on yourself by doing this little bit of high press and winning the ball in dangerous areas. But if you're high pressing and you're winning the ball back with your number nine and he's stretched wide in the wide areas, then who's inside the box? Who's going to be most effective to get the goal? So I think that's a huge piece of it. And then finding out, too, what is the best way to play everybody together to be most effective? Sam Adeniran missed some time, you know, with that kind of craziness that was going on of why he wasn't playing. And now he's back in the mix. How you play him and Joao Klaus together. Now Sam Adeniran is not an unknown to the rest of the league. Last year, the goals he was scoring were insane. They weren't just goals. They were like these ridiculous bangers. He's a very single-minded individual, meaning he gets the ball and he wants to go to goal. And you love that in a player. So I think it's just trying to figure out those pieces of the puzzle and how do you get the most effective aspect out of all your front attacking players to find success, because clearly the defense hasn't been a real issue. I mean, the shutouts, the clean sheets, you got Roman Berkey in goal, you got a back line that's been incredibly solid. I don't think that defense is an issue, and I don't know if you heard, you know, Roman Berkey's post game, but he seemed a little frustrated with the lack of goal scoring, the lack of consistency in front of goal as well. So you hope that it all comes together sooner rather than later, because you think you got a lot of time, then all of a sudden you're halfway through, you know, we're a third of the way through the season, pretty soon you're halfway through the season. Then you have the All-Star break, then you have Leagues Cup, and then it's kind of a crapshoot how everybody comes back from Leagues Cup, whether you hit your stride or you hit a lull.
Yeah, that's, I have that conversation all the time when I'm talking baseball. At what point is it not early on in the season anymore? And it's a really, really long MLS season, but as you do get into May and eventually into June, saying it's early and you're just a step off from everything like that, that I don't think fans want to hear that as much.
No, I mean, first of all, fans don't have patience. They don't have time for that. And I can respect that. I mean, we've all been fans of some team. I mean, I live in Minnesota, for goodness sake. So I've suffered, you know, time and time again with a lot of Minnesota sports. You don't want to have patience, and you want your cake and eat it too, and you want the success to come quickly. But a lot of coaches think in the early on part of the season, hey, it's only one game. We're still finding our form. It's only two, or, oh, it's only preseason or whatever it is. And I remember talking to Nick Cushing before one of the NYCFC games, and he's like, yeah, we can say that. Like, oh, we've got 32 games left. Well, pretty soon it's 31, and then it's 29. And that, you know, like, before you know it, you've got to start finding a way to get points. You have to find a way to start putting it together. And most importantly, what St. Louis City has to continue to lean on is their home form. Their home stadium is phenomenal. The fan base there is phenomenal. When they can find a way to continue to get the points on at home and get the wins at home, and I know it's cliche, but you get the draws on the road. If you're getting draws on the road and not at home, you have, you know, some hope to make it to the postseason. But as we all know as well, this league is built on parity. So you can legitimately go into every game every single night and not know who's going to win. And this weekend they have Chicago. In your mind, in the fan base mind, and in St. Louis City's mind, this should be 3 points at home against a Chicago team that clearly is struggling to figure it out and sit 13th in the East.
The rivalry with Kansas City is fantastic. Chicago is obviously – St. Louis-Chicago is a great rivalry almost in, no matter what the sport is. How important is it for MLS that this St. Louis-Chicago thing starts to turn into something?
You know, I think I'm a big believer in that, like, rivalries have to be organic and there has to be a reason for why it develops. So maybe you just need a couple of these games against a club like that where there's a little more in it, you know, a little more physical, maybe the energy behind it. Maybe there's a couple chippy fouls. Maybe there's a lot of goals and some big time saves, whatever it might be. I just don't think you can force the issue. And just because you are regionally, logistically, you know, geographically, I should say, close to one another, you cannot force that rivalry. It has to happen organically. And usually it stems from previous results, or like Minnesota United, especially early on, was big rivals with Atlanta United. Well, that was because they came into the league the same year, and Minnesota was like the ugly stepchild because they didn't spend the kind of money that, you know, Arthur Blank and Atlanta United were spending. So it has to be something that just kind of comes organically, and a lot of times it's fed by the fan base. So I don't think the league can force it. I think it has to be something that just happens on its own, and this is two teams facing each other this weekend in different conferences, but both need a win badly and need to prove to their fan base that they're going to find a way to be successful from here on out and at least continue to climb and stay above that playoff line. So it should be a good one. We'll have to see. There's some star strikers on both these teams, though. Who's going to win out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally random sidebar, but since you're in Minnesota, can you describe the excitement and the fervor right now for the Timberwolves? Because they look like they might just go win an NBA championship.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know that anybody is stopping them at this point. They made the Nuggets look silly.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely silly. And I'll tell you what, you talk about rivalries. After the way the Nuggets crushed the T-Wolves last year, you know, there was a little bit of something extra there. But you could tell, I mean, my husband and I, we've watched every game pretty much of the playoffs that we've been able to. And it's same thing. It's like you're sitting on the edge of the seat. You're excited for this team. There's a different feel about it. And it's not just Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. It's the whole group. I mean, the way this team plays defense, it's like insane, you know? So it's fun to see. It's been fun to see the town and the city get behind it, and the state for that matter. And the Timberwolves have been pretty bad for a long time, and, you know, harkening back to the KG days. So it's been fun. And I asked him tonight to go to the Timberwolves play tonight. He's like, not till Friday. Yeah. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. How? What the heck? You know, we got to wait. We got to wait all this time to plop down on the couch and watch a good game. So it's been fun. As I'm sure you can appreciate, being, you know, a sports fan in your market, you've got no shortage of teams to cheer for and get behind as well.
Well, here's the thing. The Nuggets are a Kroenke-owned team, and the Stan Kroenke is a despised figure in St. Louis. So right now, all of St. Louis is standing strong with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. Yeah. That's what I like to hear. You know, sometimes, again, you go back to what creates these rivalries or these hatreds of other teams. Sometimes it's something as crazy as that, you know. And last night, let's say, for example, we were watching the Avs and the Stars play, right, in the NHL playoffs. I hate those teams equally, because the Avs are just dirty and always have Minnesota Wild's number in the playoffs. And the Stars, you know, the North Stars left and went to Dallas. So then it's like you have these certain feelings and energy behind different sports franchises and cities, and that's kind of what starts these kinds of things. So who knows? What do you see from Chicago and St. Louis? How does that rivalry come about? What's the feeling in St. Louis about Chicago, or is there not one yet?
I don't think there is one. I think so much focus is on Sporting Kansas City that people Chicago is a secondary thing right now.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, the St. Louis Kansas City thing has been fun to watch. Same thing, energy behind that. The fan base is traveling. I think that the Sporting Kansas City is such a historic club, but they kind of always get drifted over in the Midwest. You know, it's kind of like a flyover. Sometimes how people feel about Minnesota, but St. Louis just burst onto the scene last year, and that probably really upset quite a few people in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And you had to, right?
It did, which is fun from our perspective until it got to the playoffs. Before we let you go, need you to plug everything going on at MLS Season Pass and Apple TV, because you guys, in addition to the game broadcast, just so much content being produced on pretty much an everyday basis.
Yeah, you know, I will have to say that I've thoroughly enjoyed my conversations that I get to have with every different club every single week, which is a little bit different than when you're working for a club. Really getting the insight and the backstory to kind of tell the story of all these teams across the league, which is something that we get to do with MLS and with Apple. But also, when you go on Apple TV and I'm scrolling down to find the game that I need to watch for the next week, or rewatch the previous week or whatever it is, it's crazy how far and how long I have to scroll now because of the amount of content, the supporter sections for each club, the previous games, the wrap-up shows, the 360 show, the insights, the features on the players. I mean, I think it's really pretty cool that everybody and anybody who's a fan of MLS, and if you haven't been and you come across it, the amount of content that you could truly absorb and soak in a single day, let alone a weekend. And then this weekend is rivalry week. So you have all these games, you know, every week kind of has this theme, and you can go down and say, well, it's like, if you watch the MLS broadcast on Apple and we go through the schedule and we see the scores, and my broadcast partner, Tyler, says, hey, who are you keeping an eye on? What score stands out at you, you know, as we're in live action? And it's hard to pick a game. You go down and you kind of have these aha moments of results and games and scores and what different teams are doing on any given night. It's hard to pick a singular game to try to focus on because there's so much happening in this league and it's all accessible in one spot. So there's not a bad thing I can say about it. I don't know how the rest of your fan base feels about it, but it's been a fun thing to be a part of, that's for sure.
Awesome. Really cool. Kendra D. St. Aubin, thank you so much for taking the time. Hopefully we catch up again with you in the future.
All right, sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome, very good. We'll take a break, have more in a moment. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
No Cardinals baseball today, but it would have been a weekday day game had they played, so we're going to give you an opportunity. We always do this on the program because we generally, if they play, we don't do the full extra inning show where we take phone calls and everything, so I always try to scratch out a little bit of time for you to call in, text in, tweet in about the Cardinals. We'll do that after the 7 o'clock news, so if you want to get in here, you can do so. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. So earlier when I opened up the show, I said that I'm incredibly concerned about the Cardinals right now. Though that's kind of a new stance from me. I had sort of been the everything's probably going to be okay guy, and now I'm starting to move towards the okay. They got some issues here that they gotta work through. I'm leaving open the possibility that they do work through those issues because, again, I have seen all these hitters perform at a much higher level, and I don't think they just forgot how to hit. I just don't understand why they're not hitting. I don't have all the confidence in the world that they're going to come around, but I'm also not closing the door for it possibly happening. Get a text message from the 314. Hey, Matt, quit drinking the Kool-Aid. Kyle Sixt is in studio with me today. Kyle, am I drinking Kool-Aid on the St. Louis Cardinals?
I don't think you are. I mean, you just came on here and you said that you're a little less high than you were earlier in the season, and I think that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, I am concerned. I am legitimately concerned about this team. I am legitimately concerned about what's going to happen here in the near term and the hole that they could potentially put themselves in. I'm just not willing to close off the possibility that they do have a turnaround in them.
I mean, I agree, but the White Sox series was very concerning.
Incredibly,
that was one,
yeah.
I know Jacob said when you had him on that Mason Wynn said you needed to have all three, and to not even win that series is just brutal. And I think it's a huge red flag. Obviously, the record, the offense, everything isn't where you want it to be, but there's still time, but you need to start winning games like now.
I try to be fair in everything I say. So if I'm going to sit here for the first month of the season and talk about the travel and talk about the West Coast trips and talk about the level of opponents that you're playing, then I got to do the same on the other direction. Because once the schedule lightens up, if you're not winning games, you got to address that. And that's especially what happened in the White Sox series. It wasn't good. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
And my broadcast partner, Tyler, says, hey, who are you keeping an eye on? What score stands out at you, you know, as we're in live action? And it's hard to pick a game. You go down and you kind of have these aha moments of results and games and scores and what different teams are doing on any given night. It's hard to pick a singular game to try to focus on because there's so much happening in this league and it's all accessible in one spot. So I can't, there's not a bad thing I can say about it. I don't know how the rest of your fan base feels about it, but it's been a fun thing to be a part of, that's for sure.
Awesome. Really cool. Kendra D. St. Aubin, thank you so much for taking the time. Hopefully we catch up again with you in the future.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Very good. We'll take a break. Have more in a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
No Cardinals baseball today, but it would have been a weekday day game had they played. So we're going to give you an opportunity. We always do this on the program because we generally, if they play, we don't do the full extra inning show where we take phone calls and everything. So I always try to scratch out a little bit of time for you to call in, text in, tweet in about the Cardinals. We'll do that after the 7 o'clock news. So if you want to get in here, you can do so. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. So earlier when I opened up the show, I said that I'm incredibly concerned about the Cardinals right now. Though that's kind of a new stance from me. I had sort of been the everything's probably going to be okay guy, and now I'm starting to move towards the okay. They got some issues here that they gotta work through. I'm leaving open the possibility that they do work through those issues because again, I have seen all these hitters perform at a much higher level, and I don't think they just forgot how to hit. I just don't understand why they're not hitting. I don't have all the confidence in the world that they're going to come around, but I'm also not closing the door for it possibly happening. Get a text message from the 314. Hey Matt, quit drinking the Kool-Aid. Kyle Sixt is in studio with me today. Kyle, am I drinking Kool-Aid on the St. Louis Cardinals?
I don't think you are. I mean, you just came on here and you said that you're a little less high than you were earlier in the season, and I think that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, I am concerned. I am legitimately concerned about this team. I am legitimately concerned about what's going to happen here in the near term and the hole that they could potentially put themselves in. I'm just not willing to close off the possibility that they do have a turnaround in them.
I mean, I agree, but the White Sox series was very concerning. That was one, yeah. I know Jacob said when you had him on that Mason Wynn said you needed to have all three, and to not even win that series is just brutal, and I think it's a huge red flag. Obviously, the record, the offense, everything isn't where you want it to be, but there's still time, but you need to start winning games like now.
I try to be fair in everything I say. So if I'm going to sit here for the first month of the season and talk about the travel and talk about the West Coast trips and talk about the level of opponents that you're playing, then I got to do the same on the other direction. Because once the schedule lightens up, if you're not winning games, you got to address that. And that's especially what happened in the White Sox series. It wasn't good. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.